Hello there, this is Terry Denise, a Lansing Community College student and your host of Ripper, an LCC Connect podcast where I interview others and ask about their unique efforts and connections in, around, and beyond the community of Michigan's capital city. Well, hello. This is Terry Denise from Ripper, right here in LCC Connect. It has been quite an eventful summer so far for me. Happy solstice, by the way. The solstice took place almost a month ago now. I actually was nowhere near town, near LCC's campus or in the studio, even though I was trying to get possibly some feedback from others. I did not have time because I was on the road working. When the solstice took place, I was actually at I keep wanting to say Electric Funeral because I'm a Black Sabbath fan. It was the Electric Forest Festival that took place, which is pretty big, up in Rothbury, Michigan. I actually ended up working, and it was very hot. It was the instant Michigan summer kind of hotness, where it's like, spring happens, maybe now a couple of days full of rain that happens. And then all of a sudden, instantly, it's like 90 degrees. And it happened that weekend. It was a great weekend. There's a lot of good music, a lot of good people. The vibe was wonderful. The trees were amazing. The sky was perfect to look at. And going to the beach always after, especially after a long weekend of working, serving people under the hot sun. That's what our coast is for. That's why I love exploring things in a different kind of setting where another faction of mine is called Most Coast, where I explore and ask people about what their favorite coastlines are, I guess, to visit their favorite water holes to go into. And I base that off of, you know, being a Michigander. I love our shorelines everywhere you go. Lake Superior is one of my favorites to go to. Out of the coldest, it is one of the most wickedly awesome ones to go to. The water is so neat and clear, and it's just spectacular up there. But Lake Michigan, of course, is one of the shorelines that you can instantly go to. From here, it's not very far by LCC's campus, an hour and a half away. And most of that is just getting through the west side of the county. Once you reach Portland, you're basically already almost to the shoreline of Lake Michigan there. Anyway, Rothbury is pretty near Lake Michigan. It's like 15, 20 minutes away or something. And there's a lot of different beaches that you can go to that are near there. So yeah, after a lot of loud music and a lot of extraordinary light shows, big up to everybody that did production and put on the shows and put on the sideshows and all these spectacular other events that were going on when you were just walking around the event. They did such a great job. Great artists. Had some favorites. Disclosure was one. The back-to-back or a bunch of DJs come on stage, giving each other moments to reflect on, and another DJ comes in, and then ends with a big show and goes till forever, almost into the daylight. So, and by that time, since the solstice was happening, that is the longer event that, you know, you have a shorter time span between the sunset and the sunrise, of course, because the sun is going to be out longer. So it's going to be up earlier. There's campgrounds. So by the time you're getting back to your camp or leaving, you're going to meet the sun. You will meet the sun if you're up closing the nights or the early mornings spectacular events going on. I had to be up early in the morning anyway, regardless, to go back into work. So I was oftentimes seeing the sunlight and then maybe getting about 4.5 hours of sleep until I had to go venture back out into the hot, dusty, or very windy atmosphere. It did rain at some point in time, and we did have to shelter in location, which just simply meant sitting on a bus for a long time until it was safe to leave the event and then go to the campgrounds. That was fun. Kind of. It was a lot because you were in the torrential rain and thunderstorm and then just sitting there, sitting with a bunch of other people, especially people that had worked earlier in the day as well. So everybody's extremely tired and dusty and muddy, put to one. Yeah, so it was exactly what it needed to be for you to enjoy and appreciate being along with other people that are just trying to get through the moments. And then your head nods when you leave your shift and you are somehow injected with a lot of energetic bounce. And for some reason, you cannot sleep. You can't go back into your campground until you hear a little bit of some house or weird acid jazz or some kind of D&B exclusive artist that are just amazing at what they do. Anyway, so I'm obviously, I haven't introduced anybody except myself because I am going solo today. So there's not going to be any interviews, but I have a lot on my mind. We had the 4th that just happened. It was an interesting 4th, I'm sure, for many. For me, especially, I was on the road from Electric Forest. So I had come into town, back to Lansing, and was heading back towards the beach area to work on some things. And I had some issues that happened, that incurred. And I spend a lot of my time in parking lots or screaming at the side of the road when it was dark off of an exit turn and having to wait for the tow truck. And then also having to wait for great guidance and great coverage from the local area. A sergeant actually came and helped me because before the 4th, I was in a truck and using that to work in, to get to different places that I needed to work in, different areas that I needed to do gigs in. And somehow, some way along the path, I started to notice that, oh yeah, I needed to put some coolant into the machine. So stopped off to do that. I've never put coolant into an engine before. So that was my first time. Also hadn't done the engine oil before either. So I also put engine oil in. So I lived the experience of things going wrong. So instantly had the steam coming out of the engine. So that stopped. I got a chance to let things cool off. Mind you, the heat index was not going down. It barely cooled off over a number of days. So the entire vehicle was overheating while I was on the road, and I definitely needed to bring it in, get it looked at. Meanwhile, though, I did not realize that there were other things going wrong with the machine. So while I was just thinking that, oh man, the coolant's low, so I need to put coolant in, and just, you know, I check the engine oil and, you know, check the dipstick and everything like that afterwards, and everything looked fine. The levels were up and everything like that. I actually did not realize, though, that one must put coolant into two places. So there's a reservoir that's for coolant. So I put it in that, filled that tank up, and was like, cool, now let me put the engine oil in. You know, I knew you had to run the vehicle after actually, you know, going to get your oil change and everything like that. You tend to realize that, oh yeah, you need to run the engine, let these things go through. So I did everything correctly on that end. But what I didn't realize was that the coolant needs to go into another part of the area. There's the tank where I put everything in, and then there's the transmission fluid area, which I needed to put the coolant in, or just like this other area that you needed to unscrew. And so I didn't realize that that might have kind of set things off in a way that caused a bunch of trouble. So I was on my way towards the beach, Lake Michigan, again, and did not make it that day because the engine kept shutting off. So I made my way over to a couple of different locations. I had to get pushed through a my car cut off a couple times while I was on the road. So I was limited to where I could go. I'm over in the west side of the state in an area I'm familiar with, over near GR or like GR suburb locale. So I was familiar with the places that I could go to where I could, you know, let the engine at least cool off while it was overheating under the not cooling sun, not cooling heat at all. I did catch some fireworks, which is fine. I eventually just had to submit and acknowledge that I was probably not going to get to the shoreline by the 4th, which is fine. I wanted to go up to Ludington, which they put on a good fireworks display. Didn't make it up there. Didn't make it up to see some buddies that were going to be playing actually north of there at a chicken shack somewhere on the West Coast there. Didn't make it up there. I was hoping to get up there to get it, grab an interview from a person that does some fishing, that has a fishing, local fishing line. So that'll be for another time. Hopefully, maybe I'll get them in the studio at some point before the summer's over. So I didn't get a chance to do all that, and I was hoping to bring some interviews back in, but by now. But it's okay. I have the story I get to tell. So there's a locale place that the guys really helped me out, and they did this thing where you get your information, you plug a machine in and it gets the information from the vehicle and you can find out if there's extra things going on. So apparently a cylinder is not correctly working. So there's like a misfire with a cylinder that was going on top of everything else. So everything kind of like catapulted or snowballed, or I don't know what you call it in the heat indexed during this temperature influx that we were having. And yeah, so not a lot happened with me being able to remove myself from the area by my own admission or ability to drive the vehicle. It was fine. At some point in the night, I was going to try to make it actually back into Lansing area, and got on the highway and it shut off completely. And I waited a little bit, and I was like, well, maybe I should call a tow. Eventually got on a tow line, you know, had the hazard lights on and everything like this. But by now, the sun was going down, which means that it was pretty late at night by this time, if the sun was actually disappearing in our new summer season there with the equinox. And it was getting dark really quickly. And I had the hazards on, and then I noticed that the light started to dim within the vehicle while I was searching for the card to call the company for the tow. And I was like, that's weird. I wonder if maybe I should turn off one of my portable fans that are plugged into the USB port in there. And I was like, well, okay, maybe in a second. And then the hazards went out completely. By now it's pitch dark and I was off of a ramp. So, you know, I'm being bypassed by many, many semi-trucks and a lot of cars that are going very fast. And you don't realize how fast people are going on the road because you're on the road yourself, unless you are pulled over to the side and you can't start your engine again because everything is officially off now. The hazard lights went off, which means that I was stuck in a vehicle with electronic controls. So I could not get back into the other side of the vehicle because the electronics controlled the window. They controlled the ability to unlock the vehicle itself from the other side because everything's on the electronic. So I had to do everything manually. And with no hazards means that nobody could see me on the side of the road. And I didn't have any flashers or anything like that on me. I didn't have a Strangely enough, I didn't have sparklers on me, which probably would have helped. So it was a very strange, perplexing, and kind of traumatic event that happened. But I fortunately had been on the line with some tow truck, and my phone was charged. So that's a great thing. Had insurance and a charged phone and have the ability to call a truck, which is great. And then I had to get online with the emergency services because nobody could see me out there. It was that dangerous where even the emergency vehicle that came out to help me, which I was very thankful to that sergeant from Kent County. It was very nice and really had nothing going on, apparently, for a minute. And then he had to get back on the road. But for that time spent, he was very, very patient and just spent the time with me, making sure the hazard lights were on his vehicle, and stayed with me until the tow truck came. And it had been an eventful, that was my July 4th, basically. So I was spent on the side of the road, nearly getting run over by semi trucks and, like, obviously vehicles that were going over 80 miles an hour. You really don't know the impact of that until you're sitting in the vehicle, which is not moving, and you are shaking and rocking back and forth in that kind of vehicle, in that kind of moment. It was a little bit of stressful. I did kind of jump out of the car because I could not restart it to move it further over to the right on the shoulder. So I was jumping out on the highway itself when it was almost clear. So I had to run around the vehicle. Of course, you know, having to go to the restroom the entire time. And I could not do that, especially when the emergency vehicle came up, because, that's probably not the best thing, best timing to. But held on, and eventually got to an area where I could gather my bearings and waited for another tow truck in the morning and got a tow back into the Ingham County area. So without a vehicle right now, it's okay. We're making it work. So yeah, the 4th was very interesting for me. I'm sure it was very interesting for a lot of people, but oh boy, it's been eventful trying to catch up with a lot of things, including my class right now. So I just had the midterm for a class I'm in right now, and I just got that out. Did it. I have no idea. I did not check on any of the class. I did not check on the results yet from the test yet, because I'm not ready for that. I don't know what's going on with that right now. So I'm just trying to get through it all. Just really need that passing grade to keep going and get my goals. It just seems that I've got a gremlins, I guess, that, you know, keep kicking them out, but they keep finding a way back in. It's okay. I think they're kind of leaving now. They're probably getting a little bored with me, because I'm like, you know, it's like, guys, come on. Come on, gremlins. There's not much left to do right now. You know, I'm as bored with you as you are with me. So anyway. I had an interesting song that I wrote about maybe 6 to 7 years ago, which it's called America Now. Some of the lyrics are, actually, it starts out with, "Oh, can't you hear it, those Liberty Bells? It's the sound of freedom." Very inspired by America, but only for some. I would say, can't you see? A nuclear dawn as bright as can be. So I wrote those lyrics a little while ago, and I wrote them near the 4th of July. It was just kind of happenstance. I'm actually going over them right now and going over the music. I'm kind of going to tweak the music a little bit. I had actually performed versions of that song before. There was already the version I had written myself that I brought to one of the projects that I'm involved with locally. It's a local group called Otho Roy. And I wrote them, you know, I wrote the music out, brought lyrics to practice, and we started playing it live. I've been on hiatus, sabbatical from the group for a minute now, but I'm sure they've been working on something themselves. I know everybody individually has their own projects going. If they're working on anything, I'll hear about it pretty soon. So the music that I'm going to bring will eventually have a different version that I'm working with on this song. But I keep trying to tweak the music, and I've tweaked it over the years. But very recently, I noticed something was sounding really redundant about it. And I thought it was me. I thought it was like, maybe I'm doing a riff that I used to do in a different band or something like that. And I realized it wasn't me. It was a song that reminded me of something from a band that was called Retire, which was a local Lansing band. They have since retired. funny enough. But I realized that just like this one stanza, and it sounded really, really similar to a song that they had done in years previous. This was a band that I had actually done some vocals for, but this was like over 20 years ago. It hadn't even occurred to me. So I'm going to be revising that song heavily because I had realized that it wasn't a stolen riff or anything like that. I don't like doing that. But when I realized it sounded a little bit too similar, it gave me the ick factor, or not in a terrible way, but more just so in a creative mind way where I'm like, oh, I got to know that's a little bit too close. That band, Retire, I had done a couple of songs for. I'd lent some vocals to. I was a baby when I did those vocals. I was like just barely 18. There's a couple songs on there that I'd asked to do some backup vocals on. But then they had me do a cover version of the song Piggy by the band Nine Inch Nails, which is interesting. I was so young. I haven't heard that version in a long time. And it's really weird to start thinking about that era of time because all I can think about is that band, everybody went on their adult separate ways. And so they've all been doing their own thing in life. Me working out the song that sounded similar to a different song of theirs, there's no harm, no foul. I actually personally hate when I think that I'm doing something new and then I realize that I'm just doing a riff of somebody else that I've heard. It's hard to not do that. There's only so many chords and notes that you can work with over the years, but you know, you got to tweak it a little bit. I love covering other bands and I absolutely love doing nods towards influences, but to accidentally, or for some other people, purposely straight up lift from other people, that's not my style. So yeah. That cover I did for the band, though, when I did those vocals, at the time, I had like just graduated from secondary school or high school or whatever. And that entire year is its own weirdness that had been during a time when I graduated from high school and was like, I'm going to New York and being on Broadway, or maybe off Broadway, or at least off Broadway. Gonna audition for then. And then September hit. And that was 9/11. And I did not quite make it to New York that year or close to that year. I had actually previously ventured out to New York City. So I made it to the city before that happened, that previous April in 2000 with the school, and was like, I'm coming back here. It took a while to go back, but that summer, though, it was such a great summer. To bring it back to Rothbury, before Electric Forest became a thing, there was the Rothbury Festival. But before it was even the Rothbury Festival, it was just a bunch of people hanging out on farmland. And I went to one of those events, and that year happened to be that year. That was 2001. And we just went out and listened to a bunch of music and followed a bunch of weird signals and signs to let you know that, like, you're close to the event. That was during the time where you would get a number, somebody would give you a number and you'd have to call a number and be like, oh, okay, so where are we headed? No, the locale has changed. We've got to go somewhere else and take right here, take another right there, and then watch for the glow sticks hanging up in the trees or something. It was good times. Also a very good time. Also in the heat index wasn't that high, but it was a good time. I'll just say much of the same kind of vibe going on, though, just hanging out in the woods, in the grass, and listening to a lot of good music, a lot of great D&B and everything like that. But anyway, I listened to a lot of Aaliyah that year, a lot of Strokes, and then Aaliyah had passed away within that year, and it was just really good stuff. That was her Liberation album, her self-titled. Man, that's a great listen. If you have never listened to any Aaliyah, start with her. Absolutely fantastic album, self-titled album that came out during that time. It was such good times. But weird to full stop go and have this weird anniversary of sorts, a personal anniversary of going right back to Rothbury during that time. And then lots of good summer stuff going on along the coastline. Again, I'm hanging out on Lake Michigan, this time by myself. Actually, no, I did go with a few people that I worked with again. But going back to the coastline, the road travels are more solo nowadays than anything. Anyway, coming back to you, doing a different version of that particular song, which hit with America Now. I'll be undergoing some other versions of that iterations, but I can probably bring in an acoustic version of that. I'm sure I can try to work something out here in the studio. I'll work out some versions while I'm here, but on that note, please have fun out there. Please stay safe. Please go and visit as many local places as possible and support people. Support your festivals. Support the people that are putting the festivals on, and definitely have as much fun as you can right now. And try to stay as frugal as possible while you're doing it. You know, if you can make your deli sandwiches or anything like that while you're on the road, do that. It's fun. Grab your Capri Suns, you know, hit it up 90 style. Get those coolers going. Get your fanny packs going. Zip it up. Put those things in there. Get as many passes as possible. And have a good time. Thanks for tuning in to Ripper. You can find more about this and other LCC Connect podcasts at lccconnect.com.
Featuring the staff, faculty, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. You're listening to LCC Connect. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Lansing Promise Scholarship since 2012. The Lansing Promise Scholarship offers graduating high school seniors who live within the Lansing School District and attend a high school within district boundaries an opportunity to attend LCC. Since its inception, over 1,000 enrolled students have saved over $2 million, earning over 400 degrees and certificates, as well as 30,000 credits at LCC. For more information on the Lansing Promise Scholarship, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
Feeling froggy? Well, leap into 20-plus podcasts at lccconnect.org.
Art Happens Here, the podcast that explores the often curious and occasionally amazing art installations on, in, and around the campuses of Lansing Community College. I'm your host, Bruce Mackley.
Listen to this program and many others on demand at lccconnect.org.
Mid-Michigan Recovery Services is committed to inspiring hope by providing a safe environment, teaching and modeling healthy lifestyles for all impacted by substance use disorders. We know recovery is possible because we've been serving Lansing area community members since the late 1950s with education and advocacy. We added treatment services in the late 1960s, providing residential treatment, outpatient and intensive outpatient treatment services, and also housing services to community members struggling with substance use disorders. Please let us know what we can do to help you to engage with services or support for substance use disorders. Our phone number is 517-887-0226, or you can go online to mmrsinc.org to find out more information about our services.
Lansing Community College's School of Business incorporates areas of study including marketing, insurance, management, and more. Transfer options and direct degree options are both available depending on the area of study. To find out more about LCC's business programs, visit lcc.edu.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
It's time for Stars on Sport,
a podcast radio show dedicated to sharing stories about our athletic program at LCC, past and present.
Lansing Community College Athletics has a strong tradition.
25 national championships.
Over 190 All-Americans.
19 MCCAA All-Sports trophies.
Stars on Sports will introduce you to individuals that have contributed to our program's success and give you the backstory on what it takes to develop it.
We'll also dive into and break down the topics and issues facing athletic departments across the nation and right here at LCC.
This is Stars on Sports. Hello and welcome to another episode of Stars on Sports. I'm joined today by our assistant athletic director, Stephen Cutter, and our producer, Jeremy Robinson.
Hey.
And I always give you a hodgepodge of topics before we talk today. And this one has always been on my radar, and I'm kind of excited to talk about it. And hopefully I prepared well enough, but we'll see what direction it goes, is choosing your battles wisely. And Jeremy mentioned parenting in the pregame, I guess our pregame before we get on air here. And I always think of it as a leadership, but I also believe, you know, coaching and parenting are a lot of similar things. So I also think coaches deal with this pretty regularly. And I always teach my kids, and I live by this prayer, and I don't mean to get spiritual on here, but it's the Serenity Prayer. I like it. I try and say it every day, and I just think it's good word to live by, and it's, God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that last line, the wisdom to know the difference. And,
yeah.
You know, and people get frustrated about things they can't change, back to that serenity piece, and then the wisdom of knowing which ones to change. And that's kind of the thing that I really think we have to learn as leaders and coaches and parents to figure out, because, you know, a lot of those battles come our way. And I believe in our business, the rules we live by our national association help dictate what battles we choose. But again, any quick thoughts on choosing your battles wisely?
Powerful words. I believe that if you're going to fight all the battles that there are to be fought, that it's going to drain the energy and focus of what truly matters and what's truly important. I think in coaching, much aligns with life, you have to understand the things that you should respond to and the things that you shouldn't respond to. And I think the best coaches, they've learned how to know where that line is and not fighting every battle, only take on the ones that are most important and have the biggest impact on the people that you're leading.
Jeremy, what do you think?
When I hear you say that, I think about, do you feel like you have to have control over everything?
And I wonder that same question. And when you just talked, does experience help you learn what those battles are? You talk about what's most important. So I think that's a good gauge, because I think your goals or what's worth fighting for, what's going to help you get to your end result, are many ways help you to determine which of those battles to choose. And you're also right in the sense of, if we did fight every battle, we would get tired and we would wear out, and it would decrease our energy. And then when an important battle came up, that we wouldn't have that energy to fight that. And that's specifically true in the middle of a season or a season, you know, with team camaraderie or, you know, trying to play your best, that knowing those battles and knowing which ones, you know, it's that wisdom of knowing which ones to escalate. Every kid is different. Even
yeah.
Our own kids are different in how you handle them. And some might not think it's fair or not fair. I've shared before on this podcast before, one of my great mentors out there taught me to take a breath for a second and see if they can solve the battle first themselves. I mean, because some, especially in, you know, today's society, you know, it seems like our kids want us to solve everything and come to us for everything. And, you know, again, you know, give a man a fish, feed him for the day, teach him the fish, feed him for a lifetime, kind of a thing. Picking those battles help educate and teach them how to handle adversity and fight through things, while also, you know, saving some of your energy so that you can fight the bigger ones that come to you and that really need addressing.
I think sometimes you have to edge them into, like, with my son, like, I open things up for him, right? But as he gets older, I'm like, you have the ability to open this jar, but you're so used to me doing it that you don't even want to try. So then it's like, okay, the battle I'm going to pick is that I'm going to let you try your hardest first, and then I will help assist you instead of just doing it for them.
Yeah, and I think you have to solve some battles for them, or, you know, teach them to.
Or you end up like the elephant story, you know, from another country where the elephant is tied to a very small rope when it's very small. Mm-hmm. And then as it grows and gets bigger, it's still tied to a very tiny rope. And the analogy and the story are really the same thing. And the elephant, because it couldn't get away from the rope at a small age, didn't try. As it grew and got bigger, it could easily snap the rope. But it's been limited by that. And a big thing with problem with the issues and what you're speaking about is like you really need to be able to teach problem solving 101 to get through some of that stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It is teaching others how to solve their problems. And again, I think sometimes it might be easier to solve the problem for them, and those are probably the best examples to, you know, help them solve their problem, because you don't want it to escalate. Time is of the essence. Our time, their time. You know, the elephant, one of the great example of helping them develop habits, you know, in that case, I don't know about a negative habit, but what they've learn to do, and but they also, the other perspective of that, they learn parameters. They didn't go outside of those parameters, but it is about problem solving, and whether it's you solving it for them, which is the job of leadership and coaches and parents, but the other part of it is educating those that are your followers or dependents to learn to do that themselves. And still come back to knowing which one to do and which one not to do. And, and Journey, you gave a good example of parenting and kids growing up. As the younger they are, the more dependent on you. Hopefully as they grow older, they're able to spread their wings and fly away. And, you know, sometimes, you know, even with different kids, some of my own kids are better at that when they're turned adults, and other ones are, you know, more reliable and dependent on the family. So I guess I failed in some aspects, but it's still that point and still teaching them how to problem solve. But the key proponent is, again, determining what problems to solve for them. And I had a colleague that always, you know, whenever we called about a question about a rule, he'd go, "Is this a hill worth dying on?" And it always stuck with me, and it's true. And it goes back to when you're trying to solve a problem, it's very similar. Again, we can't go a podcast without ERO. So what's the result? I mean, what is the effort putting in worth it going to get you the consequence you want? And specifically when we're looking at winning or success, and you can argue which way to go on that, even in the middle of a game of those internal battles of your own players or those battles with the other team, like in basketball, playing zone or man-to-man in the battle, you got to determine matchups. But it's preparation. It's experience, as we've talked about many times before. And I actually believe more in this case, experience helps determine what battles. You learn from your previous mistakes. You learn from interacting with your teams and your opponents and your officials and your own kids to determine, you know, what battles are worth fighting. And, you know, going back to the parenting thing, I didn't even think about this when I was working on this, but like, is it natural, like, your hardest on your firstborn and your easiest on your baby? I don't know if that's true, but did the first one pave the way? Did they wear you out with your energy, or did you just learn, hey, you know what, that battle isn't worth fighting for because they'll be okay failing or dealing with that?
I think that a model that I kind of use is similar to what you talk about, is this hill worth dying on? But I tend to step in when it has an impact on our culture, if it's got to do with effort or discipline, if it's got something to do with mindset that can be extremely detrimental to the student athlete. And then finally, like, the principles or the standards of the program. If it falls within there, that's when I step in, or what I say is respond. If it doesn't fall within those parameters, if it's something else that's outside of those parameters, I let that stuff go because I've determined what's most important for not only myself, but our program. And if it falls within those, I respond. If not, I don't respond. So you can't, as I said earlier, you're going to lose energy and focus on the things that are most important if you're trying to respond to every little thing that comes up.
And thank you for sharing that, because that's kind of what I wanted to leave with today, is how do you choose those battles? And you hit on it. And it's interesting you hit on it, because the other topic we were looking at talking about today, and we're not going to dive deep into it today, is core values. And that's what you're getting at. And I know it's true in your own baseball program with the core values you guys have set for your program. But those are the guiding principles of your team. But they're also the guiding principles of the battle you choose to fight. So that's a great point. And, you know, how do you help determine the battles you choose of choosing wisely? And the core values is a good place to start. I mean, I even think in, you know, going back through history, when you look at wars, you know, that turning points in wars were determined by battles chosen, or, you know, how you responded to battle chosen. And just, again, assessing a game plan. And you mentioned preparation earlier about the more you prepare. And we were talking about preparation on this podcast before on the podcast, and just how important it is. And the more prepared you are, the more battles you can probably handle, but you also the ones that help choose you which one do. And some come to rise to the top that you have to deal with, whether you want to or not. And especially when you're dealing with kids or young adults, to the point of parenting, they're going to need some guidance. And I think having
those pillars is really important for that guidance piece, and understanding what's most important, whether it's your core values or whatever it might be, having those pillars. Because Tim Grover said something like, you can't win every battle. That's not what the goal is. You're trying to win the game. So understand what the big picture is. And I think that you can say it over and over, and people kind of understand, like, you can't fight every battle, but then sometimes you get lost in all the little battles. So if you have those bumpers in the bowling alley, they're there for a reason, to kind of guide you through and keep you in the lane or on the tracks or whatever it might be, so that you don't get lost with the noise. There's a lot of noise out there, whether it's social media. I mean, there's noise everywhere, and you can get lost in it. And that's fighting a battle too. And sometimes you don't need to fight those battles, because it's taken away from whatever your purpose is supposed to be right now.
I was thinking about what you was talking about, and I learned, like, especially as a coach, when you know the bigger picture that you're willing to battle against, you're able to be inconvenienced with that thing as well for the greater good. For example, like a youth basketball, you can run zone, but is that going to better your team to be better in the future? But, you know, running man to man and teaching them how to stay with a kid might benefit them, even though you might lose more games.
Yeah.
And that's a battle you're willing to.
Strategy is very important. And I think the successful ones adjust their strategy. And I think that's experience, because I agree. I think we come into a profession and we want to control everything, because we think by controlling everything that will lead us. You almost choose every battle to fight, and you learn that you don't have the time to, or the energy to, or the bandwidth to, that you have to learn from experience on choosing those one that fit your core principles, but also get you the result you want to get to. Like, you might not be a zone person, but for the win this game, a zone would be our best chance that you implement that strategy and fight that battle. But you got to teach them and prepare them. But it's knowing the right time and the right result, and it's very important to determine that. And it's hard. We've talked about reacting before, and you know, when you get hit, what's your plan? And I think those still play into this too. And
when you see people, or where we get lost into trying to fight every battle, I really think it weakens credibility, because you start looking at somebody that's trying to fight every battle, and you start questioning things like, well, what's really important to you if you're fighting every battle? And so I think it does weaken credibility as well.
Yeah, good point. One of my favorite quotes I tell people is, when you get in a pig pen and fight with a pig, you both get dirty, but the pig likes it. And I use that as an analogy, that again, be careful. I mean, fighting can be, again, what fighting for the right things, but just to fight the fight, you both get dirty, and the other one, that's what they wanted to do to you. They, and just like back to strategy zone, that, you know, the competitive advantage. Because the other thing I was going to talk about is the emotions, and especially in athletics and competition, trying to either rise to the occasion or bring the opponent down, that dealing with those battles will determine a long way of how that goes. And we all know it's important to remain professional and maintain your composure.
It's huge, because you're gonna typically see that, like, emotional control and like things like strategic thinking are what separates people that have a lot of success and the people that burn out. And so it's those two things that help you through determining which fight am I gonna put up and which fight am I gonna walk away from.
Yeah, and I think your ego can be a part of that.
Yeah.
You're back to the emotional piece, experience piece. And because as well as you prepare, and that's the great thing about athletics, is it's reality. I mean, the game's not going to go according to script. And, you know, we've talked before how, you know, certain football coaches script the first 30 plays of the game and things go great. And then, you know, then you got to adjust, like if they're going to play man-to-man or zone defense or blitz or not. And so there's all those internal battles. And, you know, I always try to tell coaches, and it sounds done, it's have fun. You know, my last message to them before a game is always have fun, because the game is stressful. I mean, those are all those internal battles of what you're trying to, like game of chess throughout that game, and, you know, on the attack or on the defense, or physical or not physical, or, you know, left hander, right hander, bunt, you know, power ball, or, you know, and again, you're, so there's all those internal battles. And, you know, we talked about it with your golf swing before, is, well, not ours, but, you know, just play sometimes, you know, and don't fight those battles, but just go out there, have fun and play, and, you know, be loose a little bit. And hopefully your preparation gets you where you want to be, or, you know, again, your training that you fall to that level is where you need to be. And those are the battles you deal with every day in practice. Very intentional. And I mean, we've talked about that. So the last thing is just really, you know, the right time. And I think that's a big thing, is, you know, something that could determine, like, we're public employees, we're out in the middle of a lot of spectators watching us, and some battles are better to be behind closed doors. And I don't mean to hide or anything, just to protect emotions, or because emotions are high in our business. It's just, again, knowing the right time, I think, also helps you determine how to choose your battle, because you might lose. I mean, and it's okay to lose a battle here or there. We're going to. And that understanding that you're not going to win every battle.
Yeah, I got a great example. So I watched, like, my little YouTube shorts, and I saw one of them giving a story about Carmelo Anthony and Kevin Garnett. And they said, Carmelo got mad at KG during the game, and after the game, he was so mad, he got dressed right away and went to the tunnel to wait for him. And he said KG was walking out, and Carmelo got up ready to go, and KG said, "Man, that was just a basketball game." Uh-huh. And he could have responded, you know, in a way of, "I'm a tough guy too," but his response was, "Hey, man, the game's over.
Yeah.
I'm good."
And that's a great attitude. And the game is over. And we've seen sore losers or poor losers that haven't been able to let go of the game, very competitive people that haven't let go, especially if it's like a championship game. But also, that's a great analogy right into choosing his battle. He didn't.
Yeah.
That wasn't a battle he was going to fight after the game was over.
I mean, I'm good.
Hopefully we left everything out on the floor for that to happen. So, again, I go back to, you know, that prayer that I try and live by every day. You know, most people, the quote is, choose your battles wisely, but serenity, courage, and wisdom. And if you use those things, I think you'll be a lot more successful in coaching life and parenting. So anything else real quick on choosing your battles?
No, I
think just like you said, in the workplace and anywhere else, like you talk about the pig pen analogy, some people want to argue.
Yep.
And you have to know those people and know that, hey, it's not worth that battle. Because you're giving them the dirtiness that they want, and you don't even want that in your life.
That's a great point, and I think that's very common in athletics, especially if you're losing or you need to try and find an advantage. And, you know, we see it, you know, with crowds and such. But, yeah, that is definitely some people do want you to stoop to that level. I always say the high road is a lonely place, but, you know, it's where you can get things done, so. That'll be a whole nother podcast.
I agree.
But talking about YouTube Short, I want to talk about that sometime. I'm not real familiar with YouTube Short. I learned more about it when TikTok was banned for a day or two in our country. But are you familiar with YouTube Short much? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I don't feel the only one. But I'm going to have to learn more because I know like our kids in that do. So in choosing your battle, I a lot of dumb food questions here is our last one. I already know Cutter's answer. But there's one little thing out there is, for the rest of your life, if you could only have pizza for breakfast or pancakes for dinner, what would it be?
So easy.
That's an easy pick.
Yeah. I know it's easy for you.
Nice supreme pizza. Yeah, I'll take it for breakfast.
You pizza too?
You know, I can choose between sugar and bread or, you know, a multitude of choices of sauce and pizza. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you like pizza for breakfast?
Yeah, it's fine.
Especially breakfast pizza.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I'm about like pepperoni or supreme pizza. Do you warm it up or you eat it cold?
It doesn't matter. I could eat pizza all the time. It doesn't matter.
I thought you could. Really, you could.
Could. I don't.
Right. Yeah. I knew you liked it.
I have something called an air fryer, and it brings my pizza back alive.
Yeah.
And it's
the
great.
Air fryer has been a nice invention for that and cold French fries.
Yep.
Would you eat your pizza cold or warm in the morning? Like a supreme pizza, not a breakfast pizza.
I probably, because I've been doing the air fryer thing, it spoiled me.
See, I like the less toppings on it, I eat cold, but the more toppings on it, I want it warmed up.
I can agree.
Like a supreme pizza, I'd want warmed up, but a pepperoni pizza, I could eat for breakfast cold. I like pancakes too. We have breakfast for dinner a lot in our family, you know. So you don't in your family, Cutter?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
It's cool. Okay. It's one of them like, all right, meat is not unthawed.
Right. And I'm not talking cereal. I'm talking waffles or pancakes, eggs, and bacon.
Yeah.
All right. Good contribution, Journey. Until next time, go Stars.
Stars on Sports is recorded live at the WLNZ Studios. Engineering and production assistance are provided by Dedalian Lowry and Journey Robinson. You can listen to the episode and other episodes of Stars on Sports on demand at lccconnect.org. To find more information about our athletic program, visit lccstars.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to join us next time for more Stars on Sports.
Go Stars!
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.